copyrighted program created by Rio Grande.
Los Angeles Police calling all cars, attention all cars, broadcast 280 regarding a man abusing a woman. Assist the officers. That's all. Roll and ready.
Why wait until the crime has been committed? Until your motor has been broken down with inferior oil? When you could keep your car on the straight and narrow, making it impossible for it to go wrong by protecting it with Real Lube? I say Real Lube, and so do tens of thousands of motorists. Because this pure 100% paraffin-based lubricant covers every vital moving part with a bulletproof vest. So impenetrable that the machine gun fires your highest speed, plus the heat barrage of the hottest weather cannot break it down. It's the way Real Lube is made, friends, that makes it a better motor oil. First of all, it is tempered, refined, and purified in one of the nation's most modern and scientific refineries. Then, before it is sent on its way to the Rio Grande station in your neighborhood, Real Lube is purged of all sludge and carbon-forming elements which are allowed to remain in varying degrees in many of the so-called good motor oils. Have you driven 1,000 miles for that oil change? Then now is the time to have the crankcase drained and put in Real Lube or Rio Grande, Pennsylvania. Have it done in the morning, friend, when you get a tank full of Rio Grande cracked gasoline, the gasoline that is first in public service. Which tonight's story are based have been taken from the files of the sheriff of Los Angeles County. We have therefore asked Major Edmund L. Green to open our program.
One of the most atrocious and at the same time one of the most difficult cases for peace officers to break occurs when some maladjusted man runs amok and commits a series of outrages such as form the basis of our program tonight. It is the opinion of the officers of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department that programs such as Calling All Cars are instrumental in bringing to public attention the efforts of the police in solving cases of this sort. Despite newspaper publicity to the contrary, police officers are unrelenting in their pursuit of this type of criminal. It is unfortunate that at present such crimes cannot always be prevented. But no law enforcement officer ever lets up for a minute in his efforts to capture the criminal and to impress upon him the losing nature of a life of crime. I shall have additional facts for you at the end of the program.
On the night of March 14th, 1935, newsboys in Los Angeles echoed screaming headlines. Titled a cruel and vicious man who had struck twice on the same night, leaving his victims beaten and bloody. In the office of Captain Wallace of the Homicide Squad the following day, Detective Lieutenant Sanderson, Dilkes, Keefe, and Brown are in conference.
What do you think we'd better do, Captain Wallace? Coupled with these cases is lack of motive, except luck. We haven't anything to work on. There isn't much we can do, Sanderson, until you can talk to the two assault victims. We may get word from the emergency hospital any minute to come on out.
Yeah, they were both unable to talk last night. Still groggy from being beat up.
Hookers, you're sure that you and Brown didn't overlook anything on the first case, Mrs. Brady?
Positive. Thad and I weren't the only ones that looked. We had all the neighbors helping us. There were flashlights all over the place, peering into every nook and cranny for blocks around.
That's right. There wasn't a single clue. Whoever the assailant was, he was scared off by Mrs. Brady's call for help.
Yeah, you see, the neighbors came running out and ape man, as the papers called him, ran away.
I have Oliver's report here on fingerprints, photographs at Mrs. Evers' house.
Oh, you got them back. Do any good?
Not much, you see. He has his record here, but we're sending the prints to the FBI. If you ever catch this ape man, they're all we need to fix him up, and I don't mean it.
Are those the fingerprints that were taken on the table leg?
Yeah, the one he hit her with. She's in worse shape than the first one, Mrs. Brady. This Mrs. Evers has put up quite a battle.
Yeah, you ought to see that house, blood splattered all over the walls. She was a tough little lady.
I've often wondered what would happen if a woman went across it as these women were. Instead of putting up a fight, they'd sort of give in for the time being and watch for a good opportunity to stop their assailant to some vital spot.
I thought the same thing. In fact, I told my wife to do just that if she found herself in a spot like that.
Of course, it's pretty hard not to fight back when somebody rushes you suddenly. And yet, if a woman could keep her wits about her, I've got a hunch she'd win.
Well, anyway, that doesn't solve these two cases. Being still at large, he'll have a strike again without warning. You boys have to find him and draw this to him. Well, maybe this is the hospital. Captain Wallace speaking. Yeah, they are. Good, I'll send the men right over. Okay for you boys to get over and talk to the victims. I think you and Casey will be enough, Sanderson.
Okay, sir.
Right away.
Terribly from shock as well as from the beating they were given. Just don't tire them.
Okay, we'll talk to Mrs. Brady first. Sleep, Mrs. Brady?
No, doctor.
I have a couple of officers here. They want to ask you a few questions. You feel strong enough to answer them?
I'll try, but it's so hard to talk.
I know, but just take it easy. Okay, Lieutenant. Sorry to have to bother you at a time like this, Mrs. Brady, but we're very anxious to solve your case. Please tell me in your own words just what happened.
Well, I was coming home last evening around 7 o'clock. I was walking down Russell Avenue. I was just about a block from my home when I noticed I was being followed. I tried not to appear nervous or quicken my pace, but it was getting dark. I was a little bit afraid.
Was it a white man?
Yes.
Do you know where it came from?
No, I don't. He must have stepped out from behind a tree or a bush.
I see.
I guess it was just by sheer willpower that I kept from breaking into a run. I could hear him closing in on me. Suddenly, he made a rush at me. Oh! You're hurting me! Let loose!
Shut up!
Please, please, let me go.
Keep quiet.
Let me go. You're hurting my arm. Please.
There. Hold it. Yeah, hot like a light. Heavy, too. Uh-oh. Somebody's coming. So long, lady. So long.
He knocked me down. And I lay there unconscious. He must have been frightened away by the neighbors my scene had arrived. He sent for the police and an ambulance. Well, you know the rest of the story.
Well, we certainly hope you have a speedy recovery, Mrs. Brady.
Thank you. And I hope you can catch the thief.
Well, we're doing all we can. Now, one other question. Could you give me a description of the slugger?
I have a picture in my mind I'll never forget. It resembles nothing human.
And what is that description, Mrs. Brady?
Well, he was short, slender, and had a face like some animal. He had dark, swarthy skin, and his lips were cruel and snarling like a beast. He had large hands and long arms, like an ape. They were awfully strong. They made bruises on my arms.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think your description will help us a lot.
Oh, I hope so. Anything would be much too good for it.
Much too good, Mrs. Brady. And thank you so much. Just rest and try to get well.
Thank you.
She's in pretty bad shape, isn't she, Doctor?
Yes. She doesn't know Mrs. Evers' room. She's older and in much worse shape.
We'll be as quick as we can.
Yes, please do. Mrs. Evers?
Yes, doctor.
Do you feel strong enough to answer a few questions? There are two officers here from headquarters who wish to ask a few.
Oh, try, doctor.
Could you give us a description of the man, Mrs. Evers?
Yes. He was dark and short and had long arms like a monkey. And his powerful hands that gripped like a steel trap.
And what did his face look like?
It was horrible. Not at first. But when he struck at me, it was like an animal. Sharp white teeth and a cruel mouth that made me smile. I'll never forget his face as long as I live.
Well, your description checks with Mrs. Brady's. Now, if you can, will you describe what took place?
I'll try. I was sitting home alone. It was about 8:30 or 8:45 when I heard a knock. That must be Henry. It can't be. Henry has his key. All right, I'm coming. I wonder who it is. Yes?
Is the man of the house here?
Why, no, he's away. Is there anything I can do for you?
Yes, ma'am. You will, please. I was wondering if you had any work I could do in the yard or the garden. I haven't had anything to eat all day.
Oh, you poor man. Come in. I'll fix you something in a jiffy.
Gee, thanks, lady. I sure appreciate this.
Oh, don't mention it. Just sit down and make yourself comfortable. Maybe you'd like to come out in the kitchen and talk while I work.
Don't make no difference, lady. I'll wait in the front room.
Whatever you wish. I won't be long. I'll brew up some good coffee and I think I've got some things in the bread box. You go ahead and get this. It'll be ready in just a minute. The coffee's almost done now. I'm sorry I don't have much else to give you besides cake.
It sure smells swell.
You might as well come on out. You can begin on the cake.
You sure must make good coffee if how many judges smell.
Oh, I don't know. I make it just like anybody else does it, yes. Now, sit down over there at the table.
I don't know how to thank you, lady.
Don't try to. Here, help yourself to some bread and cake. I found a piece of pie, too.
Oh, good.
I'll just set the coffee pot here on the table and you drink all you want.
You sure are swell to do this for me.
I'll go on in the front room and take your time.
Yeah, you sure will. It ain't very often that a fella runs into a lady like you. When you're as hungry as me, you begin to think everybody's against you.
I'd be glad to make more coffee for you if you want it.
No thanks, lady. That was swell. But,
Yes?
Well, if you could spare a dime, lady, for coffee.
Why, of course. My purse is in the bedroom. I'll go get it.
Gee, thanks.
I think I've got a loose quarter here. You're welcome to that. Yes, here it is. Maybe you can... Oh.
Come here.
Oh, no. Don't hit me. Don't let me go.
Oh, no. No, you don't. For a gal your age, you're sure pretty tough. But that table leg stopped you. Well, it knocks out two of her teeth. You're coming too, are you? Well, I'll just take the money out of your purse and feed it. Well, so long, lady, and thanks for everything.
I laid there until I was sure he was gone. And then I dragged myself to the front door and out on the street where I was picked up and brought here.
It was several hours before she could speak. Her throat muscles were paralyzed by the man's strangling hand.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Evers. I'm sure we'll catch this fellow in a few days. And you just rest and try to get back your strength.
Thank you, officer.
Ah, she sure must have put up a terrific battle. She's not any too young, either. She's a mighty game little lady. But no match for this slugger.
Well, we'll catch him, all. That's the only worry I have, is that he may strike again before we can catch him.
The officers made several trips back to the hospital for additional information. They took notebooks from headquarters, hoping the injured women might recognize their assailant among the many pictures of known criminals. But they were doomed to disappointment. The fiend was not among them. And then, on the third day...
I'd like to see Captain Wallace.
He's calling?
It's killing Mr. Edwards. I'm the husband of one of the women that was beaten by the ape man.
Just a moment. Mr. Evers to see you, Captain. Okay. Go right in, Mr. Evers.
Yes, yes. Good
morning, Mr. Evers. I'm a judge.
Thank you, sir.
Now then, what can I do for you?
I'm the husband of Mrs. Evers, one of the women who was beaten by the ape man, if the papers referred to him.
Yes, I assume as much.
I have some information I thought you might find some value.
Regarding the assailant?
Yes.
And you know who it was?
I know of a man who might be the one. You see, I keep a diary of everything that happens each day, no matter how trivial.
That's interesting.
Yes. Now, I have here an entry on July 17th of last year that a man came to my home and applied for work as a gardener. I employed him for the day, and while he was there, we engaged in several conversations. He appeared deeply interested in religious matters, and of course, I'm a doctor of divinity.
Yes, go on.
Well, I noticed that he quite frequently digressed from the subject of religion to make some inappropriate allusion to other matters.
Uh-huh.
His mind seemed to dwell on such things. His viewpoint struck me as rather extraordinary. You see, I've made somewhat of a study of human nature.
Do you know if Mrs. Evers was acquainted with this man? Did she see him at any time?
I believe not. What gave me the idea was that my wife's assailant asked for some kind of gardening work, and it all seems to fit together.
You're positive your wife never saw this man or that he saw her?
Oh, positive. At that time, she was in a sanitarium recovering from an illness. Now I'll come to the point. The description my wife gave me of her attacker is very similar to that of this man Duggar, and I'm...
Just wait a moment, Dr. Evers. Did I hear you say his name?
Of course. I have it right here. T.E. Duggar. I have his address here, too, I believe. Yes, here it is. His exact address. I'll write it down for you on a strip of paper.
I think we'll get our man, Dr. Evers. Your story seems to fit the sluggard to a T. I'll send two of my men out to this address right away. If he still lives there, he'll be in jail within an hour.
A few minutes later, Detective Lieutenant Ellie Sanderson and Detective Lieutenant Ray E. Beasley are at the address Dr. Evers had given Captain Walker.
Which is the place? They just said we want to interview Duggar about a traffic accident he witnessed.
Yeah, I know you're talking to me.
I hope he's in. Come along.
Yes?
We'd like to see Mr. T. E. Duggar. He witnessed a traffic accident, and we'd like to talk to him about it. Is he in?
No, he's moved.
Oh? Any idea where?
No, but I heard someone say he was living in a rooming house in the Westlake District.
You have the address?
No, I don't. Seems to me it's north of Temple Street.
By the way, you don't seem to be terribly pleased with his memory. What do you do for a living?
He never had any steady job. Personally, I'd call him a tramp gardener.
Why?
Well, I knew he kept some garden tools in his room. Sort of a shiftless man.
Aside from that, he was a pretty decent sort of fellow, wasn't he?
Well, to tell you the truth, I said get rid of him. He's always chasing some woman.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. One of my tenants complained that he'd made advances to her in the hallway, so I told him to get out.
Oh, I see. Have you seen him since you left?
He called her occasionally to ask for mail. If you want to leave your names, I'll give him the message. Next time I see him.
Thanks.
I expect you'll be able to locate him through other channels. Hmm. But if he comes back, phone us at Michigan 5211, will you please? And thanks very much for your letter.
That's quite all right.
Well, that's that. Let's go down and check the registrar of voters. Maybe we can locate this new address.
The list of registered voters showed the name of C.C. Ducker with an address on Lake Shore Avenue in the Westlake District. The trail was getting warmer, but a few minutes later, as the two officers talked to the manager of the apartment house, their address.
I'm sorry, but Ducker moved away from here about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, well, the man we're looking for is rather small and very dark complexion.
That's the fella. He got fights with a nurse who lived here, and I kicked him out.
That's Ducker, all right. Any idea where he is now?
Not exactly, but I'm pretty sure he lives out this way somewhere. Still does a little gardening for some of the neighbors around here.
Well, I guess we've done all we can here. Thanks for the information.
You're quite welcome.
The two officers made daily trips to the Westlake District, cruising up and down the various streets, looking, always looking. Every short, dark man was carefully scrutinized, and particular attention was paid to all gardeners. But the eighth man had seemingly disappeared. On the night of March 23rd, the officers were staked out in their car, watching and waiting. A ceaseless downpour of rain drenched Los Angeles. Drama was being enacted in another part of the city. Near Echo Park, a woman was sitting at her desk writing letters. Suddenly she stopped, gripped by the terrifying realization that she was not alone. Trembling, she got to her feet and turning, saw a masked man standing in the doorway.
What do you want?
I want some money. Come here.
Now, won't you come in?
Thanks. We'd like to ask you a few questions.
Why, of course.
them right in. Come in here in the living room. Now then, if you sit down. My name is Mrs. Edwards.
Mrs. Edwards, who lives here with you?
My daughter does. And, of course, Mr. Duggar, who's been with us all about, 2 weeks ago Monday.
Well, that would be the 11th. That's it. Mrs. Brady and Mrs. Edwards. Let's see, that was the 14th.
Yeah.
What's his occupation?
He's a gardener. That is, when he can get work to do.
I see. He doesn't have much money and tries to economize, maybe?
Yes, that's true. Just quite a bit of washing. He can be very particular about keeping his clothes clean. And we often hear him scrubbing them in the bathroom.
Well, that's interesting.
Mr. Duggar isn't in any trouble, is he?
Well, I tell you, Mrs. Edward, I feel you ought to know about this.
Yes?
We're making a police investigation, and I'd like to have your cooperation.
Oh, why... Why, of course, I'll be glad to help you all I can.
And your daughter, too. Yes. Now, tell me, Mrs. Edward, what did Mr. Duggar do last Saturday? We want to know where he was and what time he left the house and all about him.
Well, now, let me see. Came home early in the afternoon, as he usually does. Left the game about 7 o'clock. He was out quite late. I know, because his key wouldn't unlock the door, and I had to get up and let him in. Oh, it was after 3 in the morning.
Go on.
Well, he got up early Sunday morning. It couldn't have been later than 7 o'clock. My daughter and I heard him go into the bathroom. It sounded as though he was washing clothes. We remarked about it at the time. Short time later, he left. Then he came back about 9. This time, we were sure we heard him washing.
He's certainly clean for a gardener. Yeah, almost too clean.
Well... He went out again about 10. We didn't see him until evening. He's been working in the daytime for the last 2 days and staying home night. Well, I believe that's about all there is to tell.
Well, tell me, has he always acted perfectly proper around the house here?
Well, there is something else perhaps I should tell you.
What is that, Mrs. Edwards?
Well, that Mr. Duggar the other night. My daughter and Mr. Duggar and myself were all sitting in here reading. And suddenly Mr. Duggar jumped up and rushed over to me and threw his arms around my neck.
And what did he say?
He said, "Oh, won't you please be a mother to me?" I remember his very words. My daughter and I both tried to laugh it off, but we were really worried about it. We were sorry we ever rented the room to him.
Naturally. But that checks exactly with the information we have concerning him.
And when do you expect him to go up?
That's him coming in now.
Come on, Jesus, we'll grab him before he knows what's up.
Hello, Mother. Hello.
Just a minute.
Hey, what's that?
I got it.
Okay.
Now, then. Your name's Duggar?
Yeah.
That's my name. But I ain't done nothing.
Would you mind leaving the room, Mrs. Edward? We'd like to ask this man a few questions.
Oh, I certainly, officer. I'll be back in the kitchen.
Now, Mr. Duggar, suppose you explain your actions last Saturday night.
Saturday night? Well, it was raining. Oh, about 7 o'clock, I went over to a cafe on Sunset Boulevard and had something to eat. After that, I went to a picture show. I got out about 9:30 and went straight home. I was in bed before 10.
You're lying.
Lying about what?
You didn't get home until after 3. Mrs. Edward had to let you in because your key wouldn't unlock the door.
That was you who beat up those women and we not.
Oh, what women? I never beat anybody. I don't know what you're talking about.
And what about Mrs. Edward having to let you in after 3 o'clock?
Well, I...
Hey, wait a minute.
Have you come to see me?
Yeah. You know whose that is, Ray?
No, who?
Mrs. Evers. Hmm. That's right. She died last Thursday, didn't she?
Who's Mrs. Evers?
I'll tell you. On March 14th, a man went to Mrs. Evers' home and asked for some food.
No. No, I didn't mean to hurt her.
Can't you let that man in?
No, I couldn't help myself. I can't help.
And that man repaid her kindness by beating her almost to death.
Please stop me. I can't help it. I can't. That's how I am.
And that man was you, Duggar. You're right. That's how you are. And you'll hang for it.
moment we shall hear the concluding facts regarding our program. If your car is below par, everything seems to go wrong. Make the week ahead run smoothly by ensuring the maximum efficiency of your car with the sure fire protection of Rio Lube motor oil and the money-saving power of police car performance, Rio Grande Cracked, the most highly recommended gasoline sold in the West. And now, Major Green.
Dugger's trial developed nothing new regarding his crime. He was speedily convicted and was later hanged at San Quentin. His criminal career extended back over several years. But like all criminals, he found that crime cannot pay.
Thank you, Major Green.
Police calling all cars, attention all cars. The cancellation of broadcast 280 regarding a slugging suspect. This man apprehended and hanged. That's all.
Frederick Lindsay, bidding you good night for Rio Grande. Next week at this time, Rio Grande will present Death in the Canyon. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.